Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 8:21:18. As always, be a part of the show. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, trends, gold, precious metals down, cannabis up, stock market up, Trump up. What else can go right? Well, Kenneth Amaduri is with us now. You know him well, founder of crushthestreet.com. And publisher of numerous newsletters and all-around pundit and a lot of insight into the economy and trends, a real trend follower. Kenneth, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Kerry. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, well, as always, so first, we got to talk about the economy. I was a skeptic. I believed that Trump's heart was in the right place, but I didn't think he was going to be able to really get stuff done and actually accomplish things. And I don't think I'm alone in that regard. I think that everyone's a bit taken aback by it.
Well, he certainly had the weight of the world against him, right? He had all conventional wisdom against him. The corporate media was against him during the election. In fact, they were going as far as lying left and right about his true support. If you remember, You go back to Election Day and then when he was winning, we know everyone was shocked because the markets were shocked. And you know how the markets work. The markets usually price in what everyone's thinking. And, you know, the night of the election, gold was going crazy. The Dow futures were spiking. I mean, it was such a shock to everyone's surprise. And then not from that point on, he continues to shock. He continues to deliver. And it's something that, you know, we really have to step back and appreciate what is happening. The market is now one day away from the longest bull run in history. And the thing is that you have, and I don't mean this offensive to anybody, but you have the right people excited about the economy. When Obama was elected, you had a lot of people who were excited about getting more welfare, more subsidies from the government, you know, government workers getting excited about their security and being able to, you know, get more from the taxpayer. And with Trump, you have businesses getting excited. You have billions of dollars re-entering the U.S. I think in the first quarter of 2018, we had $300 billion come back into the economy. And, you know, Apple, here we have Apple saying, hey, we're going to invest in the U.S. and build a plant and have 20,000 workers there. And, you know, think about the positive consequences of that. People are worried about national security when it comes to cybersecurity. But how good is it to have Apple in the U.S., you know, spending billions and billions of dollars? And, you know, people, these are things that people aren't thinking about. So many people are swimming around in their own feces of negativity towards the president. But, you know, consider, you know, blacks. I mean, look, this is a group that everyone said, oh, is going to be treated poorly and miserably. And, you know, they're not going to support the president yet. They have, you know, historic support for President Trump. 36% of blacks are supporting Trump. And it makes sense when you have a record number of blacks that went on vacation last year, lowest black unemployment rate. And, you know, despite Comedy Central, MSNBC, you know, LeBron James, what have you, when it's all said and done, This is what people care about. Right. And, you know, Trump is going to have the real support. Now, there's going to be a lot of that embarrassment. You might recall people mm-hmm. getting polled and being embarrassed to say that they support Trump. But I think that's going to be true of a lot of the minorities who are supposed to vote Democrat. But in this next election here, when they get them behind an actual booth to vote, I think they're going to actually vote with their money and say, hey, I like having a job. I like the optimism in the economy. I don't want to get anything in the way of what I'm experiencing now. And going back to what you said, I absolutely agree with you. You know, look at the $21 trillion of debt and, you know, the unsustainable manipulated economy. That's true. All of that is 100% true. I was with you. And in fact, I thought Trump was in for a massive crash, a massive correction, which still might come. But that doesn't change the fundamental good that he's doing in this economy. And I'm optimistic about that.
Hey, you know, I wouldn't say I'm like super optimistic because the debt has to be dealt with.
Absolutely.
And look at all the states that are going to go bust. Illinois, California, New York. It's just a matter of time, but Illinois is really on the balls of its feet. And Kentucky, all of these public pension plans are ready to blow up. So when you look at that, you know, there are bumps ahead, you know, of the road, right? On the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are so many things that, you know, that has to be dealt with. I spoke with David Morgan a week or two ago, and he explained it like the Titanic has already been hit. And with what we're seeing right now with the Trump administration is, you know, we've gone from maybe, you know, the bottom of the boat, and we've gone to first class, and the band is now playing louder, but it doesn't really change what has happened. But at the same time, I'm open to being wrong for an extended period of time, because, you know, who knows how long this is going to take for this ship to sink. And in the meantime, you need to stay proactive and live your life. You know, we can't live in a cave for 2 decades, for instance. You know, you want to be able to set yourself up and be open to things not playing out exactly like you have them solidified in your head. And I think that's what's important. Even at Crush the Street, you know, we stay nimble with the trends because, you know, we got to obviously prepare for the worst, prepare for things to not play out great, but at the same time, be prepared for, you know, the short term, the midterm, and basically enjoy your life, you know, because there's so many people who went out and bought bunkers and, you know, done all these things to prepare for a very doom and gloom scenario. And I applaud that. I think it's good. But if it's done to such a degree where, you know, your hands are tied behind your back and you can't do anything, I think that's problematic for your life, because you're going to die someday and you're not going to enjoy your life today. So right. That's basically what I have to say about that.
Yeah, well, hey, I totally agree with what you're saying, but, you know, you need to be prepared in times of plenty. You prepare for times when there isn't plenty, when there's going to be shortage or whatever. And in times of shortage, you prepare for times of plenty. And so you need to be somewhat defensive at all times and not put all your eggs in one basket, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think for people who want to prepare, I mean, these are very good habits to have. And for me, you know, that's kind of where I started, you know, in a very extreme, scared mindset. I graduated into the crisis of 2008. So this was my real first experience with what the economy is like. So you can imagine it took me a long time to start to get into a mode of, okay, this is, you know, how I can live and still prepare and, you know, allow, not be so worried about money exiting the account, but building up a moat of financial income and limited expenses. And it's definitely a balance in life that I think people need to really work on. And again, building that financial moat is so important, you know, buying safe haven assets and putting it away. I mean, I recommend people having separate accounts, you know, one that, you know, you check whether it has your save or your checking account, but then another account that, you know, you really don't touch, you know, that way it, the money just stays there and you don't see it as spendable income. And these are just powerful habits to have. You know, I'm a true believer in long-term savings, and that's the only way. I mean, again, when it comes to investment in the economy, investment in America, investment in your own personal family's life, the only way people move forward in a good way is through savings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really it, because that's the true creation of wealth, savings. Everything else, yeah, you can buy assets, and that's a form of savings, investment. But really, savings, the whole concept is deferred gratification. You'll put off your pleasure for today to have money in the bank to gain income or a return on your investment for the future. And that's really what makes the country work. But we seem to have gotten away from that.
Absolutely. And you know, Carrie, I would say that there's so many ways to build your financial wealth and to feel financially secure. And there's obviously things on your personal side where you build your wealth, you have a savings account, you create income for yourself, but then you build your network out of people you know. If all of a sudden, you know, you had a job and you lost it, but then you knew that you have five other people who could hire you, you know, you're going to be able to have more spending freedom and more confidence to do things if you know you have that moat around you of networks you can go to and tap and provide value and services for. Because so many people, they live in a world of scarcity because they don't have the ability to replace their income if they needed to. And that's a big deal because, yeah, sure, you might have $1 million. But if you have no income or no ability to replace that $1 million if you spent it, you better save that money and not spend it too liberally, because once it's gone, it's gone. So yeah, there's got to be this mindset of building your wealth of people and of your skills and providing value in society and owning assets that pay, because you want to be able to spend some of your income and know that it's going to be replaced to even a larger degree in the future. That's how to build wealth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, hey, talking about building wealth, one sector that has been on fire and continues to go up regularly are these cannabis stocks. And I know you've represented a number of these companies. What's your take on the whole thing? Is this just Bitcoin 2.0, or is this something that's going to be there that's lasting and these companies are real?
I mean, this is such an infant sector. We're now beyond the tipping point in so many ways. I don't think there's any way for someone like Jeff Sessions to really turn this ship around or to stop it in any way. You have Canada legalizing cannabis fully, you know, obviously regulated, but fully in October of this year. You know, California was huge news at the beginning of the year, was there. I've seen dispensaries pop up here and there. You know, Colorado, Washington, a number of years ago. I was actually in Washington a couple weeks ago, and I met with the state legislator, Roger Goodman. And we were just talking, you know, having a casual conversation about the state of the cannabis market. And even him, he was saying it is beyond the tipping point. There is no going back. And, you know, we have, what, in 2017, 121,000 Americans employed by cannabis, you know, in this sector. And it's expected to double by 2021. It'll be political suicide for people to go against this sector. And he was even talking in his own state, where you have Seattle and a lot of the coastal cities, which tend to be more Democrat or liberal where the dispensaries are. But then you have across over the mountains there, you know, Eastern Washington, where a lot more conservatives live, but they're the ones growing the plant, and they're very much for cannabis and the economy and the economic impact that is benefiting that state. So it is absolutely huge. It's prohibition, 21st century. You know, billions of dollars are going to be entering the sector. You know, there's no Anheuser-Busch yet of the cannabis industry. And I think that's coming ultimately. There's going to be some of these big, huge billion-dollar companies that, you know, you can buy in 25 and then own for 100 years, or actually buy now as like very, very early stage companies. But there's going to be that type of legacy safe haven type stock that, you know, you just buy because you know that they're going to continue to do their things for the next 500 years. We don't have that yet in the cannabis space. But yes, it's coming and it's changing. You know, the minds of millennials are much more open to cannabis on a wide scale basis than, you know, previous generations. And I think previous generations are coming around as well. But, you know, millennials overwhelmingly support the legalization of cannabis. It's not this drug that's equivalent to heroin and cocaine, but, you know, an alternative to even alcohol and cigarettes, and a superior one at that. Nobody's dying and overdosing because of cannabis. And so this is a really big deal. It's got so many health benefits. People are using it for headaches, epilepsy, you know, cancer remedies. And it's not a panacea where it just cures everything. I know that's kind of starting to become the trend to say cannabis is something that, you know, cure all for anything you have. It's not that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But at the same time, it's not hurting people, and it's a far cry from, you know, putting it in the same category as heroin and cocaine.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And so I think it's very early. We got a lot of opportunity in the space if you partner with the right companies, and this is where you want to be.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you see the. In certain places like Washington State, Oregon, there's surplus of product. But then in California and Nevada, there's acute shortages of product. And then the medical aspect of it, certainly for CBD oil and also for diminishing or decreasing the need for opioids, is something that really has not been fully studied or understood yet, but those are potential biggies. I mean, there was one company I heard about that actually bought a chain of pharmacies, and they're going to use them to distribute up in Canada. I mean, we're going to see whole new ways of distribution that you really never thought were possible just a few short years ago.
It is really crazy when you think about it. I think the UN estimates that the entire cannabis sector, black market, you know, regular market, to be $150 billion globally. But, and this is a, going from the black market mostly into the regulated legal sector. And the infrastructure is still so incredibly early. And just so you know, I visited a cannabis dispensary in California when I was there a couple weeks ago. And I walked, I first of all, they on Weed Maps, they didn't even have the address yet. And you had to actually text this dispensary a picture of your ID. So they credit, you know, give you a little bit of, they know who you are. And when you get there, it's completely unmarked. There's a room. You got to go in the back room one at a time. There's just so many,
it's like a speakeasy.
So many rules, and it's just so early. We're so early in this space, and it's going to be a major disruptor to the medical space. I mean, you know, pharmacy companies and the opioids, there's going to be a major disruption to their traditional medications that, you know, they haven't fully explored yet with cannabis. And I think if these companies want to stay relevant, or at least not have a major competitor carve out a lot of their profits, they're going to need to start putting some R&D and bringing in cannabis into their business model, because things are changing fast. And, you know, and I would also give California and some of these states some credit. I mean, this is a big revenue booster for these states here. A lot of the more conservative states have, you know, put a red flag on the sector and are really being hard nosed against it. But you know what? Mm-hmm. California, good for California for legalizing this. I mean, I know Desert Hot Springs is a city in California, which was bankrupt, you know, about almost 20 years ago. They were massive problems. You could buy an acre of land there for like $50,000. And now, because of cannabis and the explosion of companies that are going into that specific area, the economy in that area is booming. To buy a piece of land in Desert Hot Springs, an acre, it's like $800,000 to $1 million because of cannabis. So again, these are just all reasons why this is such an important sector, a very hot sector. And I think it's going to be very good. It's not a negative for the future of humanity. This is a very positive thing. And it's amazing that we're talking about cannabis in such a taboo sort of way. It's not going to be the case in 5 or 10 years. You know, you're going to see people regularly smoking cannabis, or just the same way you would see people drinking a Coors Light or smoking a cigarette. It's not going to be awkward or weird going forward. Things are changing and the mindset is changing to such a large degree.
Yeah, it really is. It's changing extremely quickly. We've been following it here on FSN from the get-go, and we're in like the bottom of the second inning here. There's a lot more to go, but when I see the creativity of these people with edibles, concentrates, etc., things that during the height of the drug revolution in the 60s and 70s, nobody really knew from. The industry is very technologically based. There's no need for outdoor cultivation anymore. It's mostly done in-house into grow indoor farms. It's amazing what's happening, but that's technology. And hey, one area of technology, we look at our cryptocurrency space, it's just been decimated. I will take credit for having written, it peaked on October 15th. I had written an article on the 16th, sent it out the 17th saying, sell half your Bitcoin. And, turned out I didn't know that I was going to be 2 days off or 1 day off from the peak, but I did know that chart. I've seen that chart before. You're going to see that chart again when something has a parabolic boom, you know, X goes exponential. It's going to come back down to earth. But what's going to happen next for the crypto space?
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I think we were sitting in Austin last year, towards the end of last year, and we were talking about crypto, and I was selling a little bit of my crypto every day at the time because I knew that this sector was getting hot. And, you know, nobody knew if it was going to go from, you know, where it started at the beginning of the year, $1,000 a Bitcoin in the beginning of 2017 to 10,000. 10,000 still would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But nobody knew when the absolute top was going to be. It could have gone to 50,000 or 100,000. But we knew that that couldn't have gone on forever. And that's why it's important to play the likely scenario with so many of your investments. And I congratulate you for doing what you did. And again, a lot of our readers for doing what they did as well. But it's a powerful thing. I love what's going on with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not something that's owned by any one particular company or person. It's not a profit-driven thing. I mean, look at a guy like Trace Mayer. He doesn't have necessarily a business that makes money from Bitcoin. I mean, he's got some investments, but he's just an advocate promoting Bitcoin for what it is. He owns a lot of Bitcoin, so he's incentivized for it to go up. But it's just something that is positive for the community. It's competition to current monetary systems. And, you know, it's a powerful thing. And I believe in the future of it. I mean, I know they're working on ETFs and building out the infrastructure. I know they got shut down or shot down recently. The price came down. But I mean, that's just the nature of the market. Everyone got used to watching Bitcoin go up a crazy amount every single day during 2017. So, you know, we're having ADD watching it here at $6,000. But you know, you have the smartest people in the world building out the infrastructure, and it's something that is just very difficult to duplicate. I mean, it's such a powerful thing that, you know, there's really no founder. It just exists now. It's like gold in many ways. It's not. I know people are going to argue with me on, you know, is it really like gold? But because of the way it is and the way it was set up, the way it was started, you know, the properties that it has, it's not going to be easily replicated in the future. Very difficult to duplicate what Bitcoin has done. And, you know, we're just in a washout phase. There's a lot of people that made a lot of money in the space last year, and there's a lot of selling that needs to happen. And when people sell and they get into this bear market spiral, it perpetuates more selling. Look at the ICOs, for example. I believe a story came out, 80% of ICOs were scams. I don't know if that was a blanket example, but that's a lot. And also a lot of Ethereum needs to be sold for these companies to just raise any funds. So that perpetuates more selling. So there's a lot of weight on the market after we had such an epic bull run. But there's a lot of good that has taken place in cryptocurrencies to advance, you know, the next 5 and 10 years forward. So I'm very optimistic about that.
All right. Well, we're going to see the blockchain, you know, it's in its infancy. There's a lot more to go and a lot more innovations. They're being made daily. So it might not be Bitcoin that actually is the king or the gold standard of cryptos. There's a lot of other things happening. Hey, Ken, we want to find out more about what you're doing, writing. Where's the best place to find your work?
Yeah, thanks, Carrie, for having me on.
Of course.
I love this conversation. I love helping people and just sharing information. You know, sometimes it's not about having certainty going forward. It's just about having the conversation and being open and being nimble of what is yet to come. And I think that's very important. That's what we do at crushthestreet.com. If people want to learn more about me and the work that I do, they can visit me at crushthestreet.com. They can sign up for the newsletter. We don't bombard people, daily with anything. It's just a couple times a week. We send regular updates, and we have a great team at Crush the Street. You can visit the site regularly for regular articles, regular content, and more interviews like this. So again, Carrie, thanks for having me on Crush the Street.
Hey, my pleasure. Hey, you got a question, comment for myself or Ken, email us kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Ken, it's always interesting speaking with you, getting your perspective on things. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.